Thank you, Maestro. I like that ending. That's a high note. High ending there. Mr. James Webb, I have a list here I want to give you after class. No, these are songs from 300 to down to 100 that we might want to start singing. Huh? I'll say to Wes Tuttle, I'll say, now, do we know 389? He'll go, oh, yeah, right. He said, I have to look at it so I know what it is. So, okay, let's talk about our prayers. And I just hope that our study in John 17 has excited your prayer life. And John 18, the Lord's Prayer, and then the Lord continued to pray, and just so important to Jesus Christ. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is relationship with the Father. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is orientation to who's in control. So many wonderful things about prayer. And we need to be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer for Thomas and his knees. And in fact, really his whole body, but his knees right now. Need to continue to be in prayer for Tish. The cardiologist figures out everything, so they think they've got that under control. And need to be in prayer for Judith's mother, Christine. And she's coming out of pneumonia, though, right now, isn't it? Is she still in pneumonia? Is she? She still has pneumonia. Okay. And pneumonia is very serious when you're 88 years old, and so need to be in prayer. Let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of we need to be? Jim, how's Cindy doing? Okay. Okay. All right. How y'all doing tonight? Man, we got you covered right up here at the front. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that. I'll give special dispensation if you want to leave that hat on. I like that hat. Let's see, and just be in prayer for each other, be in prayer for the youth camp coming up, and don't forget Communion Sunday. And so, if you have time in your prayers, all of our children and all of our grandchildren, all six children, all seven grandchildren, are in South Texas at Schlitterbaum, all that. And so please just be in prayer for their safety and safe return. I remember years ago, a bunch of us on Friday night would jump in two or three cars and be enough for packing them in and drive to from Houston. And we'd drive down there and get there real early. And, well, we got there at night and slept. And you wake up the next morning, you know, their foot's in your mouth and, you know, everywhere else, and it's really pitiful. And but we'd wake up and we'd take up one of the cars to where all of the river flow stopped, and then we drove back up to rent the inner tubes and slide back down, and it was really cool. And we had a great, great time doing that. And then what we would do, we would go into San Antonio and have a wonderful Mexican dinner, and then get back into Houston just in time for the 8:30 service. And I mean, we looked like we were worn dead and looked like been just beat up and everything else. And Bob kind of just said, maybe y'all could not come sometime. We looked pretty bad, but I had a wonderful time down there, so please be in prayer. And Leslie, any update other than the email and the report that we've had and everything? Okay. We've already talked about prayer for Tish and Thomas. So, okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Get into our study. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so oriented to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. But Heavenly Father, there's so much for us to grasp in the person of Christ, the night of his crucifixion, the night before it, things that happened to him with friends, enemies, Romans, Jews, disciples, everything, Father, and there's so much for us to grasp and to learn and to be warned in our own lives. Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we have studied how Jesus Christ was betrayed by a friend. And Judas betrayed him. And the cause was the love of money, the solution, the cure, the gospel. And then we saw how Jesus Christ was denied by a friend, Peter. The cause, fear, and the solution for him, and for all of us in that area, spiritual love. And now we come to another one, deserted by friends. Betrayed, denied, and deserted by friends in the night of and the morning of the crucifixion. The prophecy of the desertion by the friends, that's how we've done with each one of these. How the foretelling of Judas' betrayal, Peter's denial, and now let's do that with the B friends. And let's start with an overall prophecy in the Old Testament, Zechariah. So let's look at Zechariah. Zechariah is close to, I would like to just ask Kit, but I don't want to embarrass anybody yet, about if he can zero in on Zechariah. Can you zero in on Zechariah for us? Just real quick. I know that's not fair. I'm sorry, that's not fair. But he's close to the end of before the closing of the canon. The canon's closed in about 425 B.C. by Malachi, but Zechariah was one of the two books written concerning the first return from the Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem, Haggai and Zechariah. Zechariah being written around 520 to 490, and the idea here was to complete the temple because the Messiah is coming. And therefore, he wanted the temple completed, and it is mostly a messianic book, Zechariah. Sometime if it's too hot to get out, you want to just stay in an air conditioned room, you might want to read Zechariah, and just remember most of it's messianic, dealing with the coming of Jesus Christ. And chapter 13 is the chapter we want to just note one verse out of Zechariah chapter 13. He prophesies at the actual coming of the Messiah, the spreading of the people. And so Zechariah 13:7, let's take a look at Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Okay, this is God the Father speaking in principle. The sword is the judgment against my shepherd, Jesus Christ, and against the man, Jesus Christ, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts, God the Father. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. And a lot of this is dealing with Zechariah and things that are going on, but that gives you an idea of what's going on here. Now, before we come, by the way, the scattering of the sheep, that's the foretelling of the desertion by the disciples. Now, before we come to the desertion of Jesus Christ at his crucifixion, there was a desertion even before this that's a warning to all of us in the church age. And that is in the Gospel of John 6. So if you'll turn to the Gospel of John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 66. And yes, we made it through that wonderful chapter. We made it through John 6, 71 verses. And we did it before I died. So we made it through that. Now, verse 66 in chapter 6. And as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were walking with him and were not walking with him anymore. Okay, withdrew. Now, just for the enjoyment of seeing the decisions made, in the Greek, this is two words. The first is to go away, to withdraw, to depart. And the second is an adverb meaning behind or back. So they withdrew back away from him. Two real strong decisions being made. Now, the King James does a good job of showing the two verbs. They translate this, went back. The New American Standard says, withdrew. But the King James says, turned back. Went back. NIV, turned back. The point is that they deserted the Lord why did they desert him? In our passage, I almost gave it away. Why did they desert him? Look at verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, these are believers, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And then you go to 66, and they withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. I just want to point out, people, something we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've seen it even more so. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, sometimes just learning Scripture, learning the Bible, learning doctrine, causes many people to just, I don't need this, desert it. Desert Jesus Christ. He's just not that important. Now, they wouldn't say it, those words, absolutely. Oh, no, he's important. But he's not important enough to grow in the Word. He's not important enough to sit and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. He's just not that important. They have many other things to do and do not want to grow in the Word. It comes from that Hebrew passage, dull of hearing. I love that in the Hebrew, that they became dull of hearing. Now, yes. Yes.
So the recognition among these disciples at this junction is that this is not God, but this is the Messiah that has been spoken about since Abraham. Are those men recognizing who he is?
Yes, they do recognize who he is. Yes.
They've got a strong understanding that this is not God standing here. This is the Messiah.
Well, they understand the Messiah is also a deity. They understand he is both God-man.
They understand he's God-man.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yeah, and it's going to reveal the Father to us. He's going to manifest the Father to us, John chapter 1. John chapter 1 explains that. Okay, now, let's go to the crucifixion. And the foretelling of the desertion by his friends. Let's start with a familiar passage so it won't take us too long. John 16, verse 32. John 16, 32. So we're talking about the foretelling of their desertion. Now, please remember, John 16, where are we? We are after the upper room. come down from the upper room or out into the streets here, and somewhere between the upper room and the crossing of the ravine, the Kindred Ravine, somewhere in there, this happened. And then when they get over to the garden, the prayers and things that we've already looked at there will take place. Then he will be arrested, the six trials, and crucifixion. So that's how close the foretelling is. Should have been right in their mind, but like Peter, they're just not going to pay that much attention. Behold, an hour is coming, verse 32, behold, an hour is coming, and has already come, meaning it's right here, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So we have two strong words for the desertion. Be scattered, and leave me alone. And so these are two words describing their desertion. Now, as we remember, there was a lot in this verse, but we're just going to concentrate on the desertion of the friends of Jesus Christ. Behold, an hour is coming. And the word behold, this is the only time that this adverb is used in since the upper room. It's not in the upper room or any of the discussions afterward. This is the only time that behold, drawing attention to what's being said, and it directly affects them. Pay close attention. They won't. But nevertheless, the warning will be, their prophecy will be told. He does this out of love for them, to prepare them for what is about to happen to them, to him and to them. An hour is coming and has already come, has already arrived. The hour will come when you will be on your own, and I will not be there, and they're going to scatter. And that's what was prophesied in Zechariah. The hour for Jesus Christ refers to the time of his betrayal, denial, desertion, arrest, trials, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. It's all involved in the hour. So his hour, he will be crucified. Hour, he will be glorified. His hour, he will return to the Father. Therefore, we should not regret nor be fearful of our own hour, when this comes in our own lives. And for in that hour, when we return to God the Father, be face to face with the Lord, it's not a time to be in fear of. Behold, an hour is coming, and it's already come, for you to be scattered. The King James says, that you shall be scattered. The NIV says, when you shall be scattered. All of these are trying to translate the ideal of a time sequence, and really all of them are effective for what's going on. There is another adverb for when, and I think if that's where his idea would have been, he would have used the other adverb. But nevertheless, an hour is coming and has already come. Now things will happen because of this hour. Due to this hour of his crucifixion, many things will happen. Two are given to us right here. Jesus Christ knows that his hour will affect him, but it will also affect these men. And that's what he's concentrating on right here. This hour will affect the attitude of these men, their action, their deserting him. So much is going on, will affect these men. Now please remember, I don't think I've emphasized it very much, it's debated how old these men are. They're probably late teens, I don't know if you've thought about that, or early 20s. Early 20s at best. And they're young. And they've following the rabbi, the teacher, and they're following him everywhere. They know him as the Savior and these things. So they're following him. And they're young. And a lot of things are going to be happening tonight. So this is going to lead to them to fear. And so an hour like this could may occur in your life, when you will be greatly tempted to run, to desert, that you know Jesus Christ, that you follow Jesus Christ. It may come from society, which a lot of it's going on right now, will make it difficult to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I feel for our young people. Every day, I'm in constant prayer for the young people here, young people in my family, all young people that are born-again believers. It is going to be, it's tough to be a Christian today. Then it will come from the government, makes it most difficult to be a follower of Christ. as the Muslims gain more control and more power throughout the world, it's going to put fear in people. If you just find out what's going on right now, there are people who think this could never happen in America. Listen, right now, there are people in Nigeria, the northern line of Nigeria, what we call the Mason-Dixon line of Nigeria. About 2 weeks ago, they were in their worship, and the Muslims came in and just slaughtered them with machetes, killed them. And this has been going on up in the northern area of Nigeria all the way down. And it's going to happen more and more and more and more. And the murdering Muslims are going to do this all over the world. And this is leading up to the 7 years of the tribulation, right up to the mark of the beast, the 666, whatever that is. And so the great question now, we won't be there for the tribulational issue, but let's just say things got that rough. These believers, and I'll give them the benefit of being believers in Nigeria, they went to their church. They went to their church to sing and to worship God. And when they were in there, the Muslims came in and slaughtered them with their machetes. Not shoot them down, but slaughtered them with machetes. And this has been going on in various parts of Africa. Well, would you have even gone to church? Would you have even gone to worship? Will you deny them? Will you desert? And I think a lot of that's going to have to do with how important he is to you right now. If he's okay with you right now, he's not going to be much at all under disaster, under suffering, under fear. But if he's extremely important to you right now, then chances are you will not desert him at that time. So what I'm trying to do is relate this last one of these three departures from Christ to our own lives. But an hour is coming and has already come. This is the hour. But it affects them. That first result of the hour coming, the result of his hour, you will be scattered. Now, scattered here is the aorist passive subjunctive, and to be scattered, to disperse. And this comes from the Zechariah passage, that when the shepherd is struck, the sheep scattered. Now, what's beautiful here is the passive voice. They will receive being scattered. How do you receive being scattered? By the fear. That fear motivates. That fear guides us on what we should do. You will find out what people will do when you're controlled by fear. Now, everyone fears, but it's when you're controlled by it. I think all of you have seen enough war movies where people with various ones. I'm afraid. We're all afraid. We're all afraid. That just goes with standing out here. No one wants to go out there and get shot down. But now the time is now. We have to go do it. And that's the whole point at this point. So they receive the scattering by this fear. The scattering will begin just prior to the crucifixion of Christ. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home. You will note that the word home is in italics, which means it's not in the original. Each to his own. And the Greek adjective here emphasizes your place of privacy. Away from the public is the idea here. They will run away from public eye to hide in privacy. See, you recall that. Why do they do that? Well, we just saw it last week. What did they say to Peter? You're a Galilean. You talk different. You're not one. You're from Galilee up there. And so they just run and hide. They don't want people to Jews to know, because Jews know which Jews are from Galilee and which are not. So they don't want to be a part of all of this. They don't want to be identified with all of this. Let's just go and hide. Let's just stay out of it. And so please remember, they've just seen the Savior arrested and taken off by the military and the religious crowd. And, I mean, that's how quickly it can happen. One moment they're in the garden, they're praying with him, and minutes later, he's being ushered away by the military, and they look at each other and ran. Now, we know that John and Peter followed him for a while, and then they will take off. So eventually all 11 will take off from following him to leave me alone. And this is what they will do. This is the second event that will occur, the second result. You will be scattered. The second thing, that me alone you leave. And this is, they're not thinking about him, people. They're in fear. That's, I want to emphasize that. They're uncertain. They don't know what's going on. They're filled with uncertainty, what's happening, what's going on for their own life, all these things. So you leave me alone. Now, I just want to comment, since we're dealing with this, alone is a very important word in the work of Jesus Christ. Two dynamics that we'll talk about very quickly here. First, he is alone in that all have deserted him. In that sense, he is alone. All of his friends, family, even his blessed Mary's deserted. Everyone's deserted him. Secondly, he has to be alone. He has to do this alone. No one can do it with him. So I will do it, and I will do it alone. Now, as to the first desertion, you have not lived until you have been alone and believing friends desert you. I always like to say, as years ago heard, and you know who your real friends are. Well, if friends are walking out the front door, a real friend's coming in the back door. That's when you find out who your real friends are. And tonight, Jesus Christ has no friends. This is why it is so important that as a family, we stand behind each other. We stand behind Rick and Terry. They're going through unbelievable things. And I like to point out that Thomas, especially when he was in the ICU and he was out, down and out, yes, he was the one suffering, but mentally, soulishly, Terry, Rick and Terry, they're the ones who had to think, see, and watch their little boy go through all this. We need to support them and be in prayer for them. This is a tough thing. And as to the second, having said these things about how many desert in the midst of when things get tough, difficult, and they just don't want to be associated with him. They might get arrested. They might get beaten. They might get killed just by associating with them. Take, for example, during the Holocaust time in Israel, in Germany. And Germans reached that point where they didn't know why. They just knew they didn't even want to associate with those Jews. Now, here were people ostracized just because they were Jews, not ideologically. It wasn't an ideology. They were Jews. And Germans that yesterday ate with them, friends, shopped, traded, all that stuff, no longer want to be even associated with them. Just out of fear, uncertainty, what's going on? And they knew that the Gestapo or the Gra would come and get them. Why do you associate with them? And so they're forced to back off. That's the disciples at this point with Jesus Christ. Things are happening. They're not sure what all is going on this night. So they have this trauma going on in their soul. Now, we have a beautiful statement, and I'm just going to read it. We'll move on. That will give them great comfort. And if they get back and think about everything going on, especially after they receive the Holy Spirit, look what he says. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He has not left me alone. Sending of the Holy Spirit, they're going to realize all of these things. And I just want to emphasize, if things do get rough in this country, and I see no reason they shouldn't, because they're getting rough all over the world, and that you're never alone. You're never alone. He will never leave you alone. God the Father will not, and God the Son will not. They are always with you. Now, that takes care of John. Let's go to Matthew. Look at Matthew in the foretelling. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me, this night. Three very important facts. You will all fall away because of me, and it will happen this night. And that's if they're even listening, that's got to be a startling thing. And I can identify Peter, we saw last week. Wait a minute, not me, not that soon. I'm one with you right now. Well, it didn't take very long for him to say, no, I'm not. But just think of the things that are going on here. So here we have their desertion and the reason for their desertion. You will fall away. In the Gospel of John, scattered. Here, fall away. Both are pictures of desertion. It's a future passive of scandalizo, from the root meaning a trap, a stumbling block, to cause to stumble, to give offense. And therefore, the King James, you will be offended. NIV and NASV, fall away. Things will happen this night that will cause all of them to fall away from Jesus Christ. They've been with him now for 3 years, off and on for the 3 years. They've listened to him. They've watched him perform miracles. They've listened to his teaching. They've watched the religious crowd. They've watched how he handled all of them. And they're going to fall away from him. They're being told that. Now, question. What will happen for you to fall away? And each one of us have to deal with this. Economic pressure, because you follow Christ. Health, fear of your life. There's an old saying, if they were killing Christians, would they kill you? If they were killing Christians, would they kill you? Or, not me. That book, that Bible, oh, that belongs to my husband. That belongs to my wife. No, I don't know how that got here. If they were killing Christians, would they kill you? So this becomes a very serious question. And people, do not be deceived that these things cannot happen in the United States. They can happen here. They're happening in places throughout the world right now. Major countries are being ruled by the murdering Muslims. Egypt is one of them, and they've already started with their lies. They've already started with their deception. It's so interesting. If you know what's going on, and you should, it's no matter of fear anymore. You don't get upset about it. You just read, oh, we want all of our Christian friends to be, and women. You like that, ladies? And women. Know we're your friend and join us in our Islamic rule and all this kind of thing. That you can just, if you know what's going on, you're not fooled by all of that, and you just smile. But and then England is coming more and more under the threat of the murdering Muslims, and they're growing in America, all over America. And two major obstacles, I believe, in America in regard to Muslim rule. One, the remnant of true Christians. And I say true, not religious Christians, but true Christians. Two, an armed citizenry. We have an armed citizenry. The largest army in the world is the armed citizenry of America. Private citizens with their weapons. Which, by the way, when Obama's reelected, he's going to start on taking away the weapons. He's already started in various little ways on questionnaires for the Obamacare. Do you have a weapon at home? Do you have a gun at home? Is it loaded? All these kinds of things. It's just slowly. They know they've got to disarm America. They've got to disarm the biggest army in the world. And it's going to happen. So these are the things. And then the third, this country has already removed God, Jesus Christ, from government, schools, judicial system, and it's just a matter of time to when they remove him from the mass of the people. And this is where it comes down to you. Will our children, our grandchildren, it's just amazing what's they're going to be under. I'll be gone, yes. That would be the idea. That'd be the idea of the strong. Because it's proven, and it shows you in history. You have a strong number of born-again believers, and especially in the Spirit, growing in the Word. And this can be seen in a home if a mother's real strong in the Lord or the dad's real strong in the Lord. There's generally stability in that family. But when neither are, who knows what will happen. So this is what we're talking about in this regard. Okay, Matthew 26:31. Matthew 26:31, then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away," and don't miss the all-inclusive all. Don't find comfort that everyone else is deserting. You're not the only one. As you're running away, well, look, everybody else is running, so, you know, I'm not the only one, so I don't feel too bad. Don't be deceived and find comfort in the fact that everyone else is running too. And it isn't a matter that you don't find the comfort in the cowardice of everyone, and you're included. Now, I will say this, they do not have the fortification of the Holy Spirit. We do have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we have a fortress inside of us, a power inside of us that will also strengthen us in not deserting. Because of me this night, okay? First they will desert, and then it says, because of me, because of Jesus Christ, they suffer. Because of Jesus Christ, we suffer. Take a moment and look at Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. Powerful verse. Not a very popular one. You don't hear a lot of people quoting this one. It isn't on a lot of refrigerator doors. But it should be, especially in the next few years. Maybe even months. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's benefit not only to believe in him, I'm so glad I'm with him, but also to suffer for his sake. Ooh, I don't like that part. We like that first part, believe in him, but I don't know if I like that second part. It has been granted for Christ's benefit not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his benefit. Organized America hasn't really suffered for Jesus Christ. Now, I said organized America because before that, there were a lot of missionaries who came here that were skinned alive by Indians, killed by Indians, as they brought the gospel in. But as the darkness waved away and the light started penetrating and giving away to our founding fathers, developing a constitution, a declaration of independence, putting together an economic system and a political system, first a political system, and then needing an economic system to go with that. And the light just started shining and blazing. But now that light is going away now, and darkness is starting to cover the land. America's starting to be covered. But Americans really have not had to suffer that much for Jesus Christ and because of Jesus Christ. We could talk about a few different families, maybe some Jews. If one believed in Christ, they were disowned by their... But as far as a country, organized America has not suffered for Jesus Christ's sake. And it's just not there. But now history is filled with men and women who suffered for the benefit of Christ. We call them martyrs. And but people, this does not mean that it cannot happen here, and doesn't mean it's not going to. Now he says, because of me. That is because you believe in me and follow me and worship me. This is the whole issue. So this is not because you're black or white. This is because you'd made a decision to follow him. As I was saying about the Jews in Germany, it wasn't because of their ideology. Just because you're a Jew. Now, what's going to happen here is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So, the more definite, this night. What does that tell us? Darkness. Darkness is the time of Satan. Genesis chapter 1 separated the time between light and dark. Light is the time of God. Darkness is the time of Satan. Okay? So, And then this goes along with the Zechariah 13, awake, O sword, that's judgment. and against my God the Father's shepherd Jesus Christ, and even against the man, my associate, closeness of the Father and the Son, declares the Lord of hosts, God the Father, strike in judgment my shepherd Jesus Christ, and that the sheep will be scattered. Now, more on this, look at verse 56 in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 56. But all this denial and desertion has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled, that all the disciples left and fled. Forsook him, King James says forsook him, NIV deserted. Either of these fits well the Greek word in context. They forsook him, they deserted him and fled. Now right out of the lexicon, to flee, to run, or move hastily from danger because of fear. People, these disciples have no idea what's going on. They have no idea all the things that have happened tonight. It's just been one quick thing after another. Remember, they're young. They're very young. And these things are just going on very quickly. The darkness and the night. And there are hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem for the Passover. Special Passover. And there's two of them this week. And there's just so much going on. So much prophecy by Jesus Christ about betrayal, denials, he's going to be crucified, going to be killed, and how he'll come back. All these things. What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to Jesus? Fear, uncertainty over has taken over them. And where did they flee? Each to his own place. We saw that in John 16. So we've had the desertion, how they were going to flee from Jesus Christ. Why? Uncertainty combined with fear. Okay, what's the solution? Solution is for the uncertainty, people, is knowledge. Knowledge of this book. Knowledge of the Word of God. Knowing the Word. Believing the Word. And then living the Word. Gives, combined with the power of the Holy Spirit, gives courage. Courage in time of difficulty. Now here's a difficult part. They were given this knowledge by Jesus Christ. And they, like a lot of believers, they heard these things being taught by the Lord, but it didn't sink into their souls. People, they did not have the Holy Spirit. But we do have the Holy Spirit for these things to make it an issue in our life. Just like the Philippians 1:29. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read it. It has been granted that for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. People, you can put it down. You can put it in your soul. I'm probably going to suffer for Jesus Christ. Now, you may not know that's what it is at the time. You may not know what's going on. You may not know it's part of the spiritual warfare. You're a lot of people, wow, what did I do wrong? What did I do bad? Boy, does he go all the way back? My goodness, I did that in high school. Here I am, 45 years old. Is he holding that against me? My goodness, God is so strict. They're looking for a reason for the bad things happening in their life. They don't have the real understanding of God or of what's going on. People, there's going to be suffering. And we have to understand related to the spiritual warfare. And as we saw in Romans 5, under the tribulation, it doesn't matter the source. It doesn't matter if it's from Satan, from divine discipline, or the opportunity to suffer to glorify Christ. Solution's the same. Solution's the same no matter which one of those it is. Walking in the power of the Spirit, guided by the Word of God, strengthened by the Word of God. That's the solution. Let's look at John 13. Gospel of John 13. Gospel of John 13. Look at verse 19. John 13, 19. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, Jesus Christ telling the disciples, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am He. People, the more we understand of the truth, the more that things happen in prophecy, things in our own life corresponding to things in the Word of God. Boy, you just, when we study Daniel, you just go shake your head. Who can deny that He is God? Who can deny the reality of things going on? And what you have to do is to deny the book. Otherwise, you're stuck with not denying God. All right, let's look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 29. Chapter 14, 29. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. It doesn't mean believe in Jesus Christ the Savior. That means believe things that He's taught you, that will teach you. I have many more things to say to you. All these things, you'll believe them. You'll believe them. Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. People, the more we understand of the Word, growing in it daily. Now, we don't have service here daily, but that's a concept. Studying the Word of God, having it that close to you, day in and day out. That's how you start developing that joy of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling, deserting. This is why He's told them these things. Now, they're going to stumble. They're going to get the Holy Spirit here pretty soon. But this is why we have the Word of God, people. This is why we want to learn and grow and grow and grow in the Word, daily, weekly, in the Word of God. Keep us from stumbling. Get disoriented. What's going on in history? What's going on? Why are all these things happening? We have the light of the Word of God to guide our paths. Look at verse 33 in chapter 16. We read verse 32. Now let's read verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And when you understand all these things, okay, I'll take courage, because He is in control of the whole, all these things. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 24 and 25. For false Christ and false prophets will arise, and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. Now, namely, this is talking about the tribulation. But John, in 1 John, tells us we have the false Christ, the false teachers, even with us now. Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, let's read verses 21 through 23. Mark 13, 21 through 23. And then, if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, here he is there, do not believe them. False Christ, false prophets will arise, and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. But take heed. Behold, I have told you everything in advance. People, we need our young people to know the Bible. They've got to know the Bible, what's going on. How can they continue to believe that God is the creator of the world when everything they're learning in school, no, forget all of that. It's all by evolution. It's all by this and by that. Well, that sounds more and more reasonable. Well, there's no heaven or hell. What kind of God is that? Even if there is a God, what kind, you want that kind of God? No, you don't want that kind. Well, no, I don't like that kind of God. I want it where everybody goes. That's why we have to know the truth of the Word. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you don't have it, people, you're out of luck. I guess a funny way to illustrate this, if you're in a totally dark, black forest, and you may have the energy and the power and all that of the Holy Spirit to walk, but you don't see where you're walking. The light's the Word of God. It's the flashlight. That is where I walk. The Holy Spirit gives you the power and the guidance, but the Word of God is the light, the lamp for your feet, a light to your path. People, we've got to understand this book. We've got to know it, and then we've got to believe it, and then we've got to live it in our life. This is not an academic thing going on in this room. This is for our spiritual life, who and what we are in Christ. All right, let's close going back to the Gospel of John 18. Gospel of John 18, where we'll pick it up next Wednesday night. It's taken us all this time to get through three verses. When Jesus had spoken these words, verse 1 of John 18, has spoken these words, the Lord's Prayer, he went forth with his disciples across over the ravine of the Kindred, and we studied all of that, where there was a garden, Gethsemane, and we studied why he doesn't name it, into which he himself entered and his disciples. John says nothing about the prayer, nothing about taking John, Peter, and Zebedee, the brother of John, a little further into the garden. Doesn't say anything about the sweat drops of blood. Doesn't say anything about the angel coming. Doesn't say any, and he was right there. He was right there. We studied why he doesn't say anything. Verse 2. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had oft met there with his disciples. This is the betrayal by a friend. Remember, it takes a friend to betray you. Don't be shocked when you're betrayed by a friend. It has to be a friend if you're going to be betrayed. An enemy doesn't betray you. You know where they stand. This is someone you trusted. They know where you're going. They know where you'll be. And therefore, this is what took us off on this betrayal by Judas, the denial by Peter, and the desertion. Now we come to verse 3 next week. Judas, then having received the cohort and officers from the chief priest and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. They've come after one man. They've got a cohort of army. They've got a religious military. They've got all these people that are there to get one man, Jesus Christ. So we'll pick it up with this next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do not judge the disciples for deserting him. We're warned this might could happen to us. We learn from it. And Father, we just pray that when we're put under this kind of pressure and in the power of the Spirit and the lamp of your word guiding us, we will not desert. And why should we? Even if we forfeit our lives, we'll be face to face with our Savior. That's not bad at all. Father, thank you for our study over these three departures from Christ. Pray now your Spirit will take these things, use them to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.